Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Courtside with PLR. Basketball talk at its best, and yes, it's your boy PLR. Everybody, it is playoff time, as we all know. Got a lot of stuff to get into. A couple big time surprises going on. Some things pretty much go as they always have. So we'll talk about that in a second. This segment of Courtside with PLR is brought to you by The Yard Cigar Bar, located on Elliott and Dobson. Hey, get on down there. Great bar. They have some of the best craft beer on tap. More choices behind the counter. So get in there and check out The Yard Cigar Bar, located at Elliott and Dobson. Let me know PLR sent you down there. Okay, I know this is a basketball show. I do understand that. Yes, I do know that. But I have to mention the breaking news of the day. It is not basketball related. And so if you're tuning in to hear basketball, just bear with me for a second. But Aaron Hernandez, allegedly, and I say allegedly because his lawyer doesn't believe that's what happened, has committed suicide by hanging himself in his jail cell. Just 4 or 5 days ago, Aaron Hernandez was found not guilty in a court of law on two additional murders that were separate from the previous case in which he was found guilty and sentenced to life in jail. So he was acquitted of the murder charges. Now, he did get found guilty on some gun laws and some possession of weapons that he shouldn't have had, but of the counts of murder, he was found innocent, but he took it upon himself, allegedly, and I keep saying that, to hang himself in a jail cell. There was a sheet tied to the bars on the window, and he was found at 3:05 a.m. Around 4:07, he was pronounced dead after they tried to revive him. So Aaron Hernandez, age 27, found dead in his cell after what appears to be a suicide. 27 years old. Wow. What a tragedy. What a story that started poorly. And then someone who worked hard, did a lot of good, but obviously did a lot of bad. And just went down here from that, from murder to life in prison to another murder trial. And the saddest part, I think, in this whole situation, his 4-year-old daughter, the family for the gentleman that he was convicted of killing, and you know his family, and it's just bad all the way around. There's no feel good part of this. It's just bad all the way around. I jumped to basketball, but like I said, there's no clear cut segue jump that you can use, but I have to drop that news on you. Switching to basketball, I want to touch on a couple of different things here. We're going to start with the Clippers. Now, if you're a Clippers fan, you know and I know there's going to come a point where the Clippers clip. It's inevitable. I've been on them for a while. There's no secret that I always believe the Clippers eventually will clip. It's just what they do is who they are. But they found a way to win last night. They led from wire to wire. They pulled it out. They had to pull that game out last night, or they would have really been in some deep trouble being down 0-2 and then going on the road. Like I said, they won 99-91. The game was never in doubt. You could tell that Utah was missing a very big piece of their puzzle. When Rudy Gobert is out, that doesn't help their interior defense. They are the number one rated defense in efficiency. So when their anchor, a large piece of that, is gone, you know, obviously the points in the paint will go up for the Clippers, and that did last night. They scored, I believe, 36 points in the paint, much more than they did the previous game. And they just looked better. I mean, look, I still think the Clippers are going to lose this series, but I didn't think the Clippers were going to lose two games at home to start the series. Chris Paul can do too much to stop that, you know, from happening, and I think that's what they did. I still have serious concerns about the Clippers and just how good they are. All you have to do is look at what they get from their two and from their three, their starters. Lucas Amuti and J.J. Redick combined 4 of 12, 0 of 4 from the three-point line, no free throws, and 10 rebounds. Oh, and 4 assists. Luke Baamute scored 4 points. J.J. Redick scored 4 points. The rest of the starters had a combined 63 of the 99 points. And just to put this in perspective for you, Luke Baamute and J.J. Redick scored 4 points each, like I said. Paul Pierce was 107, scored 6. Maurice Bates scored 7. Raymond Felton scored 5. And Jamal Crawford scored 10. They did not outscore one person coming off the bench individually. And Baamute played 38 minutes. Redick played 33. That's, and then people say, why do you not believe in the Clippers? Well, there it is. You're relying on Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and Chris Paul to carry everything. And that's just not gonna, that's not gonna happen all the way through. I mean, Jamal Crawford did score in double digits technically. He scored 10 points, but he's taking 12 shots. 3 of 12, 0 of 5 from the three-point line. Gave you a couple assists, a couple of rebounds. But when you stop and think about it, this is a team that's supposed to be an experienced team that when the season started, a lot of people thought they would be a team that could contend for a title. But friends, people, folks, let me tell you something. I've never once thought the Clippers would contend for a title. Not with those three. DeAndre Jordan scored 18 points, 9 of 11 shooting, 5 of the 9 were dunks. So, you tell me, is this a team you have faith in going forward? I don't. Without Rudy Gobert, all DeAndre Jordan did was dunk. There was no rim protector. Rudy Gobert is really listed. Hyperextended knee, bruised knee. He's saying he could have played last night. Quinn Snyder held him out. I don't blame him. Look, let's be honest about this. When you go on a road to start a series, or you go on a road anytime in a series, in a playoff series, your goal generally is to steal one game and then make them beat you at home. If you're not the top seed, your goal is to steal one game and then make them beat you in your building. Utah got the first one. They were good. They came out and they got theirs. And now, not saying that they weren't greedy, because when you win the first one, you're supposed to get greedy and want that second one. And there's a team that got that second one, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But you're supposed to get greedy and get that second win. But why not take the time to rest a big that you're going to need, not just in this round, but what happens if you get past it? You're going to need Gobert to be healthy, especially when you're drawing the Golden State Warriors next. I almost said world champions. I keep forgetting they're not. They blew a 3-1 lead last year. So I don't blame them. Look, you're getting out of LA tied 1. You know, you're tied one apiece. And you know, no matter what, like I said, you get greedy after you get the first one. But there's no doubt they were looking for that next win. There's no doubt. Who wouldn't be looking for it? Who wouldn't want to get out of there up to with a chokehold on it? Quote Frank Lucas, put a chokehold on it. Call it what you want to call it. But they get a couple days off, a couple days for Rudy Gobert to get better, feel better, and hopefully come back for him and the sake of his team to come back feeling a little bit better, obviously, than he would feel right now or yesterday or even tomorrow. But each day he'll feel a little bit better. He'll feel better tomorrow. They play tomorrow in Utah. And then off Saturday, then Sunday, then off Monday, then Tuesday. We all know this isn't going to end in, obviously, four or five games. This is going to go six, I think. And I think that's the only shot Utah has to really win. I really think they will win. But I think if it goes any more than that, if it goes to seven, then they're in trouble. But if they can protect home court, I think it's over for the Clippers. Now, obviously, game five, they'll do that. You're not going to dance on our court, yada, yada, yada. Also, we know closing out a series is the hardest thing you can do. But we shall see. We shall see what's going on with that. Another team that did really well on the road, the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, they got a split. Now, they had an opportunity to win the game last night. Toronto evened it up 1-1. But there was a really good chance for Milwaukee to win this game. They pulled within a tie at 100 each when the Greek Freak hit a three-pointer. And then from there, I don't think it's anything Toronto did. I really don't. I don't think it's anything that Toronto did. I think the whole thing was they just couldn't hit a shot. You know, Toronto scored the last 6 points of the game to win 106-100. But like I said, I don't see anything that Toronto did. You know, down the stretch, Toronto hit shots. Milwaukee didn't. I mean, let's be honest. That's really what happened. That's all that happened. And as I say all the time, to a really good friend of mine, I ask him, what kind of league is this? And he looks at me and he says, it's a shot-making league. And I say, yes, sir, it's a shot-making league. Milwaukee didn't make shots. Now, it's not like this super secret that Milwaukee is not, you know, a team full of great shooters. And they have times where they shoot the ball well from three-point arc. Don Maker last night, 1 of 2. Greek Freak, 1 of 3. Tony Snell, 4 of 6. Brogdon, 1 of 3. Chris Middleton, 4 of 4. So, yes, there are times that they can hit big shots. And they're not a three-point shooting team. You know, on the bench, Matthew Dellavedova was 1-4 from the arc. He's the only one from the bench. I get a shot. The bench took 6 for 1. The starters took 17 three-point shots and hit 10. At least the starters are shooting it a little bit better, but that's still not their forte. That's not what they do. They're not three-point shooters. So, but they hung in there. They got in there. They got a steal. They stole one of the games, and they are exactly where they would like to be. If you told Milwaukee they would get one game and go home tied 1-1 against Toronto, I think they would have took that. Because that's really what you're trying to do on the road. You're trying to get one game. You're trying to steal one game. And that's exactly what they did. They stole one game. Kyle Lowry played a lot better than he had the game before. At least you could say he shot 50% from the field, and he controlled the game, and he controlled himself. And most importantly, he got to the free throw line. He was aggressive. He was assertive. And I think more than anything, that's what they need him to be. 6 for 12, 2 of 5 from 40% from the 3-point arc, 2 of 5 and 8 of 9 free throws. That's what they're looking for. That's what they need him to do. They need him to be assertive and aggressive. You know, as he said, if they want me to 4 shots, I'll 4 shots. That's not what they're looking for. They were looking for you to be assertive, aggressive, and lead your team. That's what a point guard does. That's exactly what a point guard does. So kudos for him. He stepped up. He showed up. He had a good game after a bad game, but now that game has to travel. And I want to know if he can make that game travel. Milwaukee is an up-and-coming team that will do some good things. But is this the year? Is this the year that they put? Is this the year that they put Toronto out, or are they a year away? We said this about them a couple years ago, and then they came back and laid a dud. So this team has been in the playoffs. They're a young team, though. I mean, and think about it. They're still missing Jabari Parker, who's injured. But good luck to them. You know, good luck to them. Segment is brought to you by the one and only Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located at Elliott and Priest in Tempe, Arizona. Listen, folks. I don't even know how to say this anymore. Listen, Tzatziki sauce made daily. Everything fresh. Everything is fresh. I strongly suggest you get in there for the best Mediterranean food in the East Valley. You have to check them out. Let them know PLR from Courtside where PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of any meal that you have. Lunch, brunch, dinner, free dinner, whatever you need, 10% off. Check them out. Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located on Elliott and Priest. Well, you know, there's one series I definitely want to talk about, and this is probably where the homer in me comes out just a little bit. Everyone looked at me like I was crazy when I said the Bulls would beat the Celtics. Now, the series is not over. Not over. So I'm not completely bragging about anything yet. But I think we see all the flaws in the Boston's team, in the Boston Celtics team right now. Look, you can't. I don't care how good that player is. In the playoffs, you can't one-man grade a team and beat another team. You just can't do it. And I don't care how good you are. We saw Jordan once score 69 points against the Celtics. Not only did they lose that game, they lost the series. You cannot outgrade a team in basketball. I love how people always say football is the ultimate sport. It's the ultimate team sport because everyone has to do their individual jobs to everyone has to do their individual job for the team to win. Special teams have to do their job. Offense has to do its job. The defense has to do its job. Individually, you got to do your job. Sometimes, as a lineman, you're not asked to make a tackle but hold a block up so the man behind you can come in. There's a lot of things. But basketball is the ultimate team sport, too. You have to know when to help, when to rotate, when to do – you know, when to leave your man, when to go under pick, when to go over pick, when to look out for a screen, when to switch, when not to switch. That is the ultimate team sport as well. And what makes it even tougher is once the offense comes off the field in football, they're off the field. See, in football, the offense can do its job. There are quarterbacks that lost in the Super Bowl that left the field with the lead. They had nothing to do with losing that game because they didn't have the ball back. They never get the ball back. So your offense can do its job. It can be 6 minutes left on the clock. Offense comes down, scores, or say a minute 45 left. You're up by six. You're up by three. You're up by seven. Whatever the case may be, that offense has done its job. But if the defense gives up, there's nothing else that can be said. So, therefore, in basketball, you have to play offense and defense. You can't point the finger at no one else for not doing their job. And that's what's happening with the Boston Celtics right now. They have one guy that they can count on to score, Isaiah Thomas. If he's off at all or anything is wrong at all, there is not a secondary score, and they're getting worked because of that. And that's where that's the difference in this series. Right now, like I said, Dwayne Wade has been to more playoff games than anyone on the Celtics. Jimmy Butler, playoff experience. Rajon Rondo won a title with this team and played with three Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers. They're ready. If one person's off, there's someone else. Boston doesn't have that. Right now, Jimmy Butler is the best player on the floor. He may be the second best two-way player in the league behind Kawhi Leonard, and the Bulls are putting him on a 5'9", even though he's 5'7". I've stood next to him too many times. Isaiah Thomas, he can't do anything. They're trying so hard to give him the ball. 10 seconds is running off the clock with the Bulls denying the ball in the fourth quarter. They say styles make fights in boxing. Matchups make good series in basketball. This is a matchup nightmare for Boston. I called six. I'm actually saying five now. I just don't see it. Hell, Avery Bradley said that he could hear Rondo last night saying, "They've quit. They've quit." That's what their body language said. That's why they're getting their ass kicked. Online with us right now, the one and only Chambers. Chambers, what's happening on the Carrie Lackey Law Line?
Man, what is going on, PLR?
Well, it must be a special day if you're calling in to courtside because you are the football queen and you're calling to talk hoops.
Exactly. It must be a great day.
What do you think of these playoffs so far?
Well, honestly, I mean, they're all right. I'm not really impressed. I'm not really, you know, into it yet. I feel like, you know, this is the type of series, the last few series that I've been watching that's going to come down to, you know, the semifinals before it gets exciting. I feel like some of these teams are already decided, and like you were saying, you feel like teams are, like, already giving up because they know they're not going to win. So, like, you kind of hate watching when, you know, everybody's not 100% in it.
Well, I think the Bulls, and I was saying that mostly about the Bulls series with Boston. Boston is the number one seed, and they fought really hard. And here's what happens to young teams. And when I say young, I don't necessarily mean years, but in playoff years. Boston's a young playoff team. They've never gone deep in the playoffs. They've never and I'm talking about this team as constructed. They've never gone deep in the playoffs. So you have a team that fought so hard for the number one seed, and they got that number one seed. And I don't know if in the back of their minds – because they have home court all the way through, that triggers something to say we're better than what we are. The Bulls honestly played sporadic all year, but the one thing they did when they played good teams, they played well. Hell, they beat Cleveland four times, which is astonishing. But they lost to Philadelphia. So you never knew what you would get. But for guys like Wade and Rondo and the feuding Rondo and all that stuff, what a lot of people forgot is, and now I'm not saying the Bulls are going to win a title. Don't get me wrong. But what they forgot is they're taking a team where Dwayne Wade has more playoff minutes than all of the Celtics put together. Rondo's won a title. Jimmy Butler's been in the playoffs. Robin Lopez has been in the playoffs. You're taking all these guys with all this playoff experience, and you're playing them against a team with none, and their best player is 5'9". He's their only scorer. And people thought, or for whatever reason, they thought Boston would have their way. You got to look at the matchup. Don't look at the seeding. Look at the matchup. So, I don't think I don't think Boston, quote unquote, gave up. They're not going to play hard. I think they realized last night, wow, this is a bigger dog fight than we thought. But I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. What do you think Memphis is going to do tonight? You got that data? You got that data?
Man, I got that data for sure. Because, listen, they ain't getting ripped tonight. They are not getting ripped tonight. I'm going to tell you that right now. I ain't seen passion like that from a coach in ever.
No. That
talking,
ranks up,
you know,
there with playoffs.
Yeah, it does. Honestly, you know, I was impressed, you know, that he took it to that extreme. Now, do I feel that, you know, he was right in what he was saying? Yes and no. I mean, it's almost like the golden rule. Like, you know, oh, this team is, you know, favoritism and this, that, and the other. They're getting called their way. It wasn't as lopsided as his emotions depicted, but it was a little bit, I mean, there was some calls that he should have got for sure. But I don't feel like it was as lopsided as, you know, his anger portrayed. But I love the passion. I love the passion.
Yeah, I think it was lopsided. And I love when coaches do this in the playoffs because they're now, they know that game is done, but they're setting it up for the next game. And they know that they may, even though refs act like it doesn't affect them, those calls will be different. And he did make a good point. How does Kawhi Leonard have more free throws than the most physical team in the NBA.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He was definitely right. Yeah, I agree with him. He's definitely right. They should have got some calls that they did not get. But I think it was like 22 to 13. So what is that, 8 or something? I mean, that's huge. I guess that's 16 points, you know, or, you know, however many, you know, points you want to add it up to be. So I guess it is a large amount. But it's not like it was like 32 to 15 or, you know, it wasn't like extremely lopsided, but I felt like the calls that they did get, you know, they weren't making the right calls, I guess you could say. You know, they should have got a lot more calls than what they got, but I don't feel like it was to the point to where, you know, it was a deciding factor in the game. I don't think that the Grizzlies, I mean, I feel like the Grizzlies had a good season, but I didn't see them winning that game, regardless of the free throw.
I don't see them winning the series, I'm going to be honest with you. But
right.
But they shot 15 free throws as a team. Kawhi Leonard shot 19 by himself. That discrepancy is too far off. For a team that's really a jump shooting team, and you know, they go inside, but they're pretty much, they shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers and everything. They got 32 free throws. That's a lot of freaking free throws. And like I said, he's coaching for the next game, not this one. So,
right.
We'll
and you know, to defend you know, the Grizzlies, Fizdale, you know, they majority of the time they shot, you know, in the paint, you know. So I feel what he's saying. There definitely should have been a lot more calls, you know, in the paint underneath the basket. But you know, what can you do? I mean, they're not going to overturn the results of the game. A loss is a loss. But I definitely feel like this series is going to be, I mean, it would have been a lot more competitive than what they were trying to make it at this point now, because he definitely said something.
I agree. Well, you know what the music means. Tell them real quick when they can hear your show and what's going on.
Everybody, you know, I'm back. I'm back in the swing of things. Football's coming up, so get excited. You guys can catch me on Fridays at 1 p.m. And you guys know where to find me, official_Mimi_C on Twitter and Instagram. And if you dare, follow my Snapchat at SissySuave84.
Cool. And then, of course, you can get us at the Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. Make sure you go to thesportscave.com. Got a lot of information up there that you want to check out, you want to read. If you missed the show, go there and check it out. And you can get me, of course, directly at TLR on Sports on Twitter. Chambers, thanks for hopping on with us on a Carrie Lackey Law Line. And make sure you check her out this Friday. She's going to have a lot of good draft information. So until next time, this is TLR. This is Courtside with TLR. Everyone have a good, great Wednesday. Take care.
Bye, everybody.